On tonight's episode of the Lethal Mullet Podcast, brought to you by Lethal Mullet Network, The Mullet looks at the life of Roddy Piper. Roddy Piper, the amazing Canadian wrestler, action hero, and much, much more. This amazing man who gave us this amazing film we're going to be looking at tonight, which I have procured on VHS format. That is, of course, the one and only action thriller with a sci-fi edge, Sci Fighters, here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
I'm sitting here waiting, contemplating what's the best day. Watching that movie
on the Lethal Mullet, yeah. Something like that. Ooh, yeah. All right, folks, let's get into it. Here we are. Episode number 96 of the Lethal Mullet Podcast. I'm your host, Adam O'Brien, and welcome to Quinlan's Cantina on the Gold Coast of Australia, where we, of course, we celebrate action cinema. And in the past episode, we looked at the Shokusugi classic. A little bit rare, a little bit hard to find these days, but it was pretty huge release on VHS back in the days. So that is, of course, the late 80s classic Shogun Maeda. I hope you enjoyed that episode, and I hope you check out the actual film itself, if you can find it. But tonight, we're going to look at the life of the WWE, or WWF at the time, a wrestler. One that is very close to my heart, because I think this guy was, you know, to put it blindly, I think one of the few that just told the truth about life in his performances, not only just as a wrestler, but there's a truth and honesty to his performances as an actor. And that is, of course, the late, great Roddy Piper. We're going to be looking at the life of, from his humble beginnings in Canada all the way down to, of course, joining the wrestling in the States. And then, of course, after all that, becoming an action star. And obviously, the big hit he did was, of course, They Live. Did that for, of course, John Carpenter. And then after that, he did a string of B-grade action cinema that, well, I tell you what, folks, I'm a huge fan of here, of course. And of course, there was a certain charisma he had. We're going to be covering a couple of his films. Obviously, tonight we're looking at Sci Fighters, but in a couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at one that was almost as great, almost as big. It's a lot of fun. It's quite a funny film as well. Hell Comes to Frogtown, which came out a few years after They Live. So we'll be looking at that as well here on the show. But for now, before we do that, this is where you can catch this show and many others like it.
The number you have dialed has been changed. The new number is...
G'day, my name's Gowan. Follow the Lethal Mullet here on Fandom Podcast Network's master channel at fbnet.podbean.com, or subscribe on the Podbean app, where you can find all the shows. Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast. Culture Clash, a weekly look at pop culture. New look at Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast. You can also check out The Mullet Guild, a look at the Dune universe from me, the Lethal Mullet. You can also check out this show and all the others, like What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast. Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, and much, much more. All on FPN. You can follow on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and all podcatchers. Make sure you follow me, The Lethal Mullet, at The Lethal Mullet on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. All right, folks, before we get into the news, a big shout-out to, of course, our pals over at the Fandom Podcast Network, of course, which you can find this show on many, many times over the month, of course. They are a few shows behind us now, though, because we have fast-forwarded through time, and now we are at number 96. I do believe they're back in the 80s now still, so g'day Kevin, g'day Carl, and others over there. Hope you're doing well. Yeah, we've got a couple of projects we're working on with the guys over there at Fandom Podcast Network. One of them is, of course, them coming over here to, of course, a little for one of the upcoming episodes where we're going to be looking at the Expendables franchise. Now, to spread this out a little bit and to get them on for these, because to me, you got to do it like the flavor of the films, okay? So a good look at the Expendables movies needs to have a kind of amount of hosts on and co-hosts that we've had on specials like The Batman, the Tim Burton one we did last year, which was great, a lot of fun. So Kevin's coming on, along with, of course, Lee, and we're going to be doing the first Expendables movie sometime early next week, so it'll be out in the next couple of weeks. And of course, it's going to be a real love fest of that film. And then in another month's time, we're going to do the second film, which I personally think is the best of them. They really polished their act. They got everything down pat. It's not as rough as the last one. And they nailed the feel of the films. And of course, gave enough time to each of the individuals in the Rascals team. Of course, as Bruce Willis calls it. Bruce Willis and, of course, Arnold in there and Chuck Norris as well. So we'll really be spending a bit more time with that one too. And, of course, we'll do the third film. It's got its own great parts, but I think spends far too much time with the new guys and sort of showing the inadequacies of the new guys going into the conflict. But we'll look at those, and it's going to be huge. And it's all happening, of course, on Little Mother Podcast. Now it's time for the latest action news from the cinema and martial arts movies and more, all here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast. All right, in the news segment tonight, we're going to do something a little bit different because we want to spend a bit more time looking at the life of the wrestler and action star, Roddy Piper. So in the news segment, I'm going to tell you the news. The news is, this is checking an amazing thing out, and that is, of course, Sci Fighters, this 1996 action thriller, sci-fi. It's got everything, set in 2009 in Boston. And it's about a police detective played by Roddy Piper as he searches for Adrian Dunn, his old partner, Billy Drago, who murdered his wife. And Dunn has escaped from prison on the moon and returned to Earth with a virus, an alien virus that's set to infect all those around him. And of course, is able to destroy all those he comes in contact with. Sci-fi action thrillers was something that were very paramount in the mid to late 90s in particular. Yeah, it was something that was quite popular. If you think about science fiction, even in A-grade sort of cinema at the time, was something that was always prevalent. And we've come out of the 1980s, and particularly with the alpha male style characters that we had with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, Bruce Willis, and of course characters like Dolph Lundgren, Jean-Claude Van Damme, and of course the milieu of the time. Now, what's interesting is science fiction was creeping into those action films as early as Terminator, Predator, The Running Man, and the list goes on, folks. But it also was prevalent in these lower budget action films. And, you know, Roddy Piper himself, the star of this film, is one of those. He did, of course, John Carpenter's They Live, which is a very much a science fiction film. And, you know, it's a satire, it's everything. And I think that sort of infected a lot of the other movies that he did. You know, he obviously did Hell Comes to Frogtown. And yes, folks, we are doing that film soon. But, of course, this one as well. And it was a time where Arnold Schwarzenegger was dabbling with it. Arnold Schwarzenegger himself was doing films like End of Days, The Sixth Day. He always had to have days in his titles at that time. But it was of that period, was very popular to do. I think to get a bit of an idea of this sort of flavour of this film, you could think of maybe Dolph Lundgren's Dark Angel. Or known in the States as I Come in Peace. So it has a similar sort of feel to that too. Now this is directed by Peter Svatek, written by Mark Seavey, and it's a film which stars some pretty well-known people that you know very, very well, particularly in this action genre. Roddy Piper plays Detective Cameron Grayson, and of course top billing also goes to Billy Drago, who plays, of course, his partner that he's after, the one that goes wild and gets an alien infection, Adrian Dunn. Billy, of course, first thing I ever saw Billy in was Chuck Norris film. And that is, of course, Delta Force 2, where he played the drug-dealing bad guy. And I remember seeing that. I was coming back from Sydney once, coming up to Brisbane, which is about a day's drive. And we stopped off at a hotel. Hadn't seen Delta Force 2 before, so we sit back, relaxed, and watch this, and it was a different film from the first film, obviously. Much more a Chuck film than just Chuck joining an action film and of that type from Canon Films. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. And, of course, Billy's one that just really ran with it. Now, what you don't know is that Billy's been in a number of the Chuck Norris films from the old days as well. So he was kind of a regular. A lot of those, maybe he was, you know, somebody that knew, whether it was Chuck or perhaps the Canon Pictures people at the time, whatever it was. But he was heavily involved in those films as he's coming up as a character actor. And he's just always got an air of cool, but also there's a sinister edge to him, and that's what I love about his portrayals. Following Roddy in this is Jane Heitmeyer, playing Dr. Kirby Younger, and of course helps him along in his investigations in this too. There's a real, I think particularly in this film, feel more like the Arnold Schwarzenegger sci-fis. There's a kind of an end of days feel about this film, which is interesting, I think, too. Now, this film shot in Boston, which I've always had a bit of time for. Boston's an interesting place for film. If you look at Boston itself, we've had, obviously, you know, films like Boondock Saints and the second one as well. And, you know, I think big part of being around that city was what sort of gained a lot of, I think, you know, the feel of, particularly of that one, you know, that sort of feel. You got The Departed, the town, always been in that sort of area. Although the film might be set there, it was filmed in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. So the native country, of course, of the main man here. A lot of the productions over the years have been made in Canada and then, of course, set in the States, obviously. But we've got films that, you know, have been made over there over the years. Obviously, some of the most successful, you know, science fiction themselves, Battlestar Galactica, made over there. Stargate, SG-1, I mean, come on. You name it, it's been made up there. But that's because of the studio system up there is so strong. There's all some great locations up there too. SG-1 in particular, really used, I think, yeah, that sort of almost that New Zealand-like wilderness that Canada has, because it has that sort of climate, has that beautiful forest areas and stuff like that. Or as we say in Australia, bush. but it has that sort of look. In this one, not so much, because they're using it for the cities and stuff like that as well too. What I love is Roddy's, I think, earthiness to his character. You know, he's playing this where everyone's against him. You know, he's got all the, whether it's the police themselves. It's that sort of quintessential character of the time where the cop is, you know, down on his luck. No one in the precinct believes him and what's going on. There's corrupt bureaucrats, corrupt police in this as well. But at the same time, there's a real air, I think, particularly with Roddy, in the way he's able to portray these sorts of characters at the time, to make you believe he really is a police officer, and that this is really happening in this city. And the same with They Live, there's a real quality. I don't know much about the wrestling, like from the behind the scenes and stuff like that, but I gather it must have been just the same as him playing the character of Rowdy Roddy Piper. But there's a truth, and you can tell, you know, there very much is, and you could consider that, like, against other people that have sort of come out to become actors after being in the WWE, or in this case, the WWF, and Roddy, in particular, in these, some of these roles, there's an, I'm just going to say it, a no-bullshit factor, you know, he looks like the real deal. What you see on screen is what you probably see in, you know, in the real world, because he's got that quality about him, a truth. I don't see it with The Rock, and I don't see it with others these days who are great athletes, but they can't portray that sort of power as an actor, and you either have it or you don't. And I think Roddy, you know, maybe he wasn't acting, maybe he's just being Roddy, but whatever he was on screen, it nailed it. This film's a lot of fun. Obviously, it's a police procedural. There is some action, but it's left more to, of course, the area, of course, of firearms and more.
Alrighty, mate. Time to go down to the pub for a pint, chat, action.
Alrighty, so definitely go and check out Sci-Fighters. I'd give it about a 3 out of 5 on the Hallenbeck scale. It's not his greatest effort in the world, but I tell you what, folks, for 1996, the time where we're cracking out these B grades in Montreal and Quebec, Canada. Why not? Why not check out the work of Roderick George Toombs? Ruddy. Go and do it, folks. You've got to do it yourself. Now, I've got to tell you, before we get into the life and times of Roddy Piper, we're going to chat quickly about today. Today is Alien Day, folks. That's right. Alien Day. And it's got to be one of my favorite franchises, folks. It is amazing. And right now, I'm going to say it's bigger for me than Star Wars, because I don't know what they're doing with Star Wars, folks, but it's not as cool as what Ridley wants to do with Alien. Well, no, actually, it is cooler than what he really wants to do with Alien. Because God knows what he's trying to do with it. I'm going to say something that should have happened years ago, folks. And we got a producer that is, of course, part of the team that's always had these films together. He's produced them but never, ever directed one. And, I kind of feel like it's sometimes they try and, come in and take over the projects. You can see that Ridley's run into trouble with them, and Cameron, and definitely Fincher. Fincher's had issues with him with Alien 3. And although, let me say, folks, it's probably my favorite right now, Alien 3. That work print, or that sort of assembly cut print, it's a hell of a lot better than some of the others. And plus, it's a tough movie, man. You mean we have no guns, no weapons, no nothing? That's right. You don't, Ripley. But, it's at a time where Walter frickin' Hill, yes, director of 48 Hours and Last Man Standing and all your favourites back in the day, Walter Hill, come off your hill, get down here and direct a frickin' Alien movie, show them how it's done, give us something that's, tough as nails. Director of Warriors, folks, Warriors come out to play, yay. Well, now, you know what, Walter Hill? Walter, come out to Duray!
Come on, Walter, do it. Do it for the team. When I was governor of California, there was one thing I always said. Do it for the team. You're producing these things, right? Come on.
And now here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast, join the mullet as we take a stroll down memory lane to the life and times of one Roderick Toombs. All the way from Canada, this legend of the wrestling field, who joined the action fraternity of course, film and television. The life and times of Roderick Toombs. Alrighty then! Roderick George Toombs was born the 17th of April, 1954. He's Canadian. Been a professional wrestler, an amateur wrestler, and of course, you better know him as an actor. Thanks to me telling you, folks. That's right, I'm telling you. He was born in Saskatoon in Saskatchewan. I hope I'm saying that right. Well, of course, our pals at the Hitchcock podcast here on FPN should be able to tell us that. And Saskatchewan, from what I've seen of it and what I've been told about it, is that it's one of the coldest places in Canada. So you kind of get an idea of just the sort of climate that he grew up in. Now, unfortunately, he passed away at the age of 61 in 2015. And of course, at the time, he was living in Hollywood, California. And he's really been active for so long, folks, when it comes to, being not only a wrestler, but an entertainer, folks. At its heart, he's an entertainer. And he was billed from Glasgow, Scotland, in the role, of course, of the Piper Machine. Of course, Roddy Piper. His build height was, of course, 6'2". He's quite a tall lad. And, of course, he was 104 kilos for you Aussies out there. And 230 pounds for you Americans out there. And, of course, they're abroad. He was trained by one of the legends who we're going to be talking a lot about here on the show, of course, that is Jean Labelle. And of course, Jean Labelle is a legend in the judo area. Not only that, but also wrestler as well. He's just one of those amazing guys who's basically, his work has been a real precursor, if you like,
to modern wrestling, modern jiu-jitsu, judo, you name it. He's influenced people like, and just through training itself, like Ronda Rousey and, you know, all the names that you know. Even Stephen Lambert, who I'm reading the book of right now, is a stuntman who was, you know, not only involved in films with him, but, you know, he's left his mark on Steve's life as well. Gene just seems to be one of those that have really, you know, basically given his best when it comes to, you know, training and really left a mark on those around here just through influence. Amazing. And nicknamed the Godfather of Grappling. So stay tuned, folks. We're going to talk a lot about some of these martial artists, wrestlers, and all that sort of stuff, because the lives they've lived is just as exciting as the work on TV and film that they've done as well. Anyway, let's get into it. So obviously, he was known through the WWF, now the WWE. So when I was growing up, it was called the World Wrestling Federation. And also the WCW was another one that was around at times too, World Championship Wrestling. And, you know, it's something we've always had it on TV overseas. Obviously, it's become a real international thing, not just an American thing. And it's just huge. So obviously he's got Canadian heritage, but what they really did was they built him up with the bagpipes. And of course he's got Scottish heritage. And of course, part of that was, you know, that he got the kilt to the bagpipes and, of course, the music that came with it in his intros in the wrestling and stuff like that. But one of the big parts of his character, he was a villain in the wrestling. You know, he had Rowdy and Hot Rod as nicknames, and basically had this, it went with the character of being from Scotland, you know, this short, fiery temper. But a truth and honesty to the character. And, it you know, it's always fun to play a bad guy, right? So he was one of those. And, of course, you know, it's, as they say, it's the a heel is what they term it as in wrestling. But it's villain wrestler ever created. Out of all those, he's probably the greatest of those characters. And they've all, I'm sure, they've all had a chance to play those. I mean, Hogan himself was... at one stage a villain. They've had a number of them. And again, it's part of the story, part of the culture of wrestling to make those characters up and really make him something huge. And of course, he was one of the most popular as well. Just one of those great ones. So let's go through it. So he's born in 1954 in Saskatchewan, Saskatoon. And he's raised in Winnipeg, Manitoba. So his father was an officer with the railway police or the Canadian National Railway when they lived in that area. And at the time, he had quite a bit of trouble at school and stuff like that through being expelled at the time through having a switchblade in school. And basically, I think he you know, got caught for that. And through that, he also had a falling out with his parents, and from there, basically left home early. So he's basically, you know, even though he's a teenager, he was pretty much self-reliant at the time, adult, going out into the world. So you can kind of see that, you know, this is kind of carved some of the, you know, the way that his life was. And also through that, he stayed in youth hostels around the place, getting odd jobs at gyms, working for some professional wrestlers. And of course, one of the big things that took him away from that, the hard times, was playing the bagpipes. So it's interesting that sort of that not only helped him, but it helped develop him as a person and as a character as well. Through that too, you know, he obviously had some friends along the way too. And from there, he also met people like Cam Connor, who was an NHL player as well. And these ones would become friends with him for life, all the way through hard times and vice versa. He also served with the Canadian Army as well, with a tour of duty as well. So I think one of the things that is really interesting in his early parts of his career and life itself was that he'd done a lot of different stuff at the time, done a lot of different jobs. And I think that started, you know, as a person himself, ground him. And you can see that in some of the performances. You can see some of that realness, you know, truth, honesty. coming through the characters that we've seen him on stage create.
And in the right corner is the one, the only 6'2", 188 centimeters, the powerful, the genuine, the bagpipes. At 104 kilos, 230 pounds of muscle. And a kilt, the one, the only, Roddy, Rowdy Piper!
All right, now, Roddy was a amateur wrestler back as far as 1969. So his early career went up to about 1975, and this is when he was doing boxing. He was also awarded a black belt in judo from Gene LaBelle himself. So he's got a background in not only wrestling, but judo as well. So you can tell that, you know, obviously judo is the closest you're going to get to wrestling in martial arts outside of obviously jiu-jitsu and stuff like that. And in my humble opinion, I think it's more effective than jiu-jitsu. It's an amazing, amazing martial art. Because the ground is going to hit you a hell of a lot harder than any haymaker, kick, or headbutt, punch, or elbow. Gravity is unforgiving. and obviously, this is all through Canada and the US over the years. Obviously, he's been part of the National Wrestling Alliance in the late 70s all the way through to 1983. He worked also in California and Portland in that period as well. And then, of course, the Georgia and Mid-Atlantic from around about 80 to 83. And this is when he got involved in also the World Wrestling Federation. And obviously, run by, of course, Vince McMahon Sr. and all that at the time. And you know, building up these amazing characters, or a heel, as he calls it. Things like Piper's Pit that he had from 1985 to 1987. So, I mean, it was just ongoing right through to the early to mid-2000s, folks. Like, he was very active. And it was a real staple of pop culture, folks. You know, wrestling always has been there and, you know, always been something that's been an interest. And it's a very theatrical sport, but as much as it is what we all know what wrestling really is, particularly that, you know, professional wrestling, the people involved, the artists and the, you know, the performers themselves are, without a doubt, some of the toughest people in the world because they're putting their bodies on the line, you know, and more so in some ways than stuntmen do in film. And you've got to give it to him. You know, he's one of the best when it came to that. You know, he's got that formidable presence. Charismatic as well, in all of the work that he did in those as well. Now, after and in, even in between the careers where he's taken breaks here and there, this is where he started to build up his acting repertoire and, of course, his amazing catalogue of films that he did. Most successful was, of course, 1988 science fiction film They Live, which is, of course, directed by the amazing John Carpenter and has one of the greatest fight scenes ever, where he's just trying to get Keith David, the great actor as well, to just wear a pair of sunglasses. That's it. It's as easy as what he's trying to get him to do. But that fight scene has so much of just what you would expect from not only a wrestling match, but just a, you know, two guys down there, like in the middle of an alley, kicking the absolute snot out of each other. And it's powerful. Now, Keith wasn't somebody that had done all the professional wrestling stuff. But he's one hell of an actor, you know. We've always seen him do great stuff. And I'm not just talking about the more recent stuff. I mean, go all the way back to films like, of course, Platoon. I actually quite liked him in the film Men at Work with, of course, Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen because he's really, really good in that and shows, you know, a real comedic side that's just hilarious. But in this one in particular, we get to see, you know, somebody that's, you know, down on his luck as well because he's obviously away from home working on construction sites to make money for the families that he's got back home, so his family and stuff. And what's great about it is he's trying to toe the line and then along comes, of course, Roddy, who's trying to sort of unravel everything in front of him and he's kind of like, man, let's just leave people alone. And, of course, the big
fight happens. And it's got a nice little climax where he does realise that Roddy's not full of crap, you know. It's great. It's one of the great ones out there. And, of course, hot on the heels of that was Hell Comes to Frogtown, which is even more comedic in some ways. And it's a bit of a road movie, you know. And I think, too, it's probably in some ways not quite there as far as They Live, but it has the sort of cornerstones of fun, a bit of comedy, a bit of satire when it comes to those two. Without a doubt, it's probably the strongest. Then, of course, there was a succession of TV appearances, both comedic and also, you know, straightforward. Obviously, Highlander he was involved in as well. And by a lot of the fans that are part of the Blood of Kings Facebook page, you know, the Facebook page, they've always talked about how good that role was. And, again, he gave everything to the role that he was in, too. What's interesting, too, is that if you look at what he's done over the years, he's always moved into you know, little bits of franchises here and there. He's done Robocop the TV series as well, and obviously too in the time of Sci-Fighters he was starting to bash out quite a few amazing little action comedies, and some of them buddy cop action films as well, really good. So folks, I want you to celebrate with me Roddy Piper, the amazing actor who really gave all. And I think one of the great things too is that there was even a G.I. Joe action figure that was sort of immortalized him as well, and it was the Iron Grenadier trainer as well. So I mean, he's a part of the iconic parts of pop culture, and it's sad that he's passed, but his legacy is out there, folks, because you can enjoy those films. They're still out there on celluloid and now, of course, digital streaming and vice versa. So, hats off to you, Roddy Piper. We miss you, and we will enjoy the legacy that you've left behind.
G'day, folks. Hope you're enjoying the great shows here on the Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to check out all the great shows that we have on offer and subscribe on the master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. You can check Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Rysel and Lee Fillingsis, on their platform. You can also check out Culture Clash, which is the weekly look at pop culture hosted by Kevin and Kyle. Couch Potato Theatre, this is a cult classics and guilty pleasure podcast. Also Time Warp, a fandom flashback show. End Zone, a look at the NFL, the American football. Also Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, looking at the great films of Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation podcast, a Star Trek and Orville podcast, looking at Discovery, and of course Picard, plus the Orville. Also the Hair Metal podcast, looking at the great shows put on by the amazing bands back in the late 80s, their discs, their LPs, everything, all covering the fashion as well, hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Rysel. You can also check out Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, hosted by Kevin and Dan Hadley, looking at all the eras of Doctor Who. You can also catch out What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, an amazing show looking at Star Wars, hosted by Derek and Scott. And of course, our newest one, the amazing, The Mullet Guild, an offshoot of the Lethal Mullet podcast looking at Frank Herbert's Dune universe. This is like an encyclopedia for Dune, where I take you through and down into the rabbit hole of Frank Herbert's amazing space opera, the sprawling universe which is going to be brought to life by Denis Villeneuve and December 18. You can check out all the shows there. Be sure to also go onto the social platforms on Twitter at FanPod Network. Let us know what you think of the shows and what else you can look at there. You can also check out great articles that we put up through there that we share. Also check out on Instagram and Facebook, Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to make sure that every Tuesday you check out the great work done by Making Treks as well. A brand new podcast looking at a deep dive of Star Trek, hosted by myself, James Semple, and of course, the ever popular and amazing writer of Star Trek and Star Wars, Mark Newbold. Go and check it out, folks, and we'll catch you next time here on the Phantom Podcast Network's The Lethal Mullet Podcast. Good afternoon, good evening, and good